Welcome to Christian Community Center of Los Angeles, or as we love to call it, 3CLA, the Church for Truth Seekers. I am Pastor Tom Washington, and it is a blessing to be given the opportunity to share the word of truth with you. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about 3CLA and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at our website, 3CLA.org. We also encourage you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show yourself approved unto God, Yahweh, a workman needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom.
Father Yahweh, we just come before you right now, this morning, giving you honor. Come before you with thanksgiving, Father, for who you are, for whose kingdom you represent, Father. We thank you for allowing us to be a part of your kingdom, Father. We thank you, Father, for all of the tools that you've given us to walk this walk successfully. We thank you for the word. The word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. We thank you for the power of your very breath, your Ruha Kodesh, your Holy Spirit, hallelujah, that is moving in this place, even right now, Father Yahweh. You're moving in us, through us, and to us. And right now, Father, we ask, Father, that you allow your word to go forth. Use the vessel, no matter how worthy or unworthy it may be. But let your word go forth in the power and might that you have designed it to go forth in, Father. So we thank you. We acknowledge you. Anoint the ears of the hearers that they'll be able to hear your word and be able to apply it to their life. Let it become alive. Let it become rhema in us. That we can live this out, Father, the way that you desire for us to. So we grab hold of it right now. In Yeshua's mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.
Praise Yahweh, saints. Hallelujah. So I think it's appropriate that I explain a little about what this ministry is about. We're not churching just to be churching. This ministry has always been a ministry of truth. It's not about a doctrine of men who they write down their little things that they want done, but it's actually going into the word and finding out what Yahweh wants done. It's a ministry to empower you, for you not to put us on these pedestals and worship us. We're not personalities. We're just merely mouthpieces for the word of Yahweh. Hallelujah. We want you to be empowered. We want you to be able to lay hands on yourself. We want you to have the power of the word and the knowledge to know what's appropriate, when it's appropriate, and what to do and how to do it and all these things. You're empowered to do it. You don't have to run to us. Hey, you know, I need to. Well, we're trying to develop you in faith that you can lay hands on yourself and self be healed right now in the mighty name of Yeshua. And it's done. Say empowerment. So we're empowering you. And that's what Yeshua wanted from the very beginning. He's like, yeah, I'm doing some works, but greater works will you do. Right? You have to do it. See, I have to do it. So it's about us taking the power of Yahweh that is in us. Because why did he? Listen, if you wanted him to do all the works, then why did he put the Holy Ghost in you?
All right, now watch it.
He put the Holy Spirit in you for a purpose. He said, they're going to need some power. What are they going to need power for? Because they're going to be encountered with some stuff. And sometimes, listen, I'll be the first one to tell you, sometimes it's just you and Yahweh, and that's it. You know, what are you going to do when your friends ain't around, F-R-E-N? Right? You got to be able to stand on this for yourself. So we empower you in truth. The same example that Yeshua did when he was working with the disciples. He even was like, go on and cast out them demons, do stuff. And they was like, they wasn't confident. And he was like, they tried to cast out the demon. And the guy was like, listen, your disciples, they couldn't do it. And so Yeshua was like, oh, how long will I have to suffer with y'all? He said that. He wasn't like, oh, that's all right. You get it next time. He was like, no, y'all got to get this. How long do I have to keep on teaching y'all? Y'all see me do this. You have the authority. Go out and do the work. Go out and use your authority over the enemy. Put him under your feet. Put him under subjection. Cast him out. You have the power to do it. You don't have to keep calling me. You can do it. That's empowerment. I heard about a preacher saying that our God is not to be read about. He's to be experienced. I beg to differ. You're not going to be able to experience him in truth unless you read about him. That is why the Father said he is seeking, looking for those that will worship him in spirit and in truth. Because everybody that's worshiping him, they're not worshiping him in spirit and they're not worshiping him in truth. That's why he's looking. It's not that he's looking for those, but he's looking at the world to see who's going to do it in truth. He's actually looking at the church. And he's saying, that's not truth. I wish I had my glasses. I would look over. Yeah, that's not truth. They think they're worshiping, but it's not in truth. And it's not in the spirit. I will remind you that there are a lot of spirits, little s, in the earth. But thank God, there's only one big S, Holy Ghost Spirit. So I say you cannot experience him unless you know about him in truth, because that way you won't be experiencing something that's not him. That way you'll have the discernment to know what is truth and what is not. So pardon me if I say this, but to be truthful and transparent in the ecclesia, the general church today, unfortunately, we have a lot of ignorant believers that just want to experience something, but they have no idea what they're experiencing because they have not the knowledge to know how Yahweh operates. He told us to take his yoke upon us. What is the yoke? That the yoke was the teaching of the rabbi. He told us to take on that teaching. He didn't tell us to take our yoke, what we want to do, and put it on the rabbi. And so many churches want to dictate what we are preaching. I'm telling you right now, this is not the place for you to dictate what goes forth from this pulpit. Only the Holy Ghost dictates what goes forth from this pulpit. It's nothing but truth. And we operate in the true anointing of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost had already been poured out in Acts up onto all of us, right? And there was order to how it was poured out. It wasn't just no willy-nilly, everybody. No. There was teaching about it, right? There was order to it. Because our God, is a God of order. Because he says he is not the author of confusion. We already know who that is. So if I see confusion, then that tells me who is authoring what's going on. I want to serve the only true and living God. Thank you, Yahweh. Thank you. And so the anointing of Yahweh is the power of Yahweh to accomplish anything. What is left out of anything, everything? There's nothing left out of that. And so Yeshua died and rose again that some things would happen in us. So in case you don't remember what that work, that transformative work was in you, that he's expecting to see, he put his Holy Ghost in us that he'd be expecting to see himself in us, right? So what are you demonstrating in the earth? Are you demonstrating his character? Because Yeshua had he had character. I think it's unfortunate that a lot of believers are not even showing common character. No. Common care. Even an unsaved person can say, I'm not going to lie. But we got believers who believe that they're spiritual people and they lie. Apostle said they lie at the drop of a hat. So that's why he's looking for the true worshiper. That's why everything that we say, we back it up with scripture. I can be on this stage for 45 minutes to an hour and give you a diatribe and never, ever go to the word of Yahweh. That ain't happening here. Everything that we say is based on the word. And if we got to give you 8, 10, 12, 20 scriptures, we going to give it to you because we want you to know the truth. Amen. Who wants to know the truth? So when we accepted Yeshua, say there was a work done in me. See, a lot of times we forget, you know, we get happy and we get blessed. And we lose sight of where we came from, what he brought us out of, what he protected us from, what he shielded us and sheltered us from, what he put in us, what he put in our mouths to actually say. He made us the redeemed. He redeemed us. Say, I'm redeemed. A lot of us say we're redeemed, but what does that mean? We become the redeemed. Redemption means he actually freed us. And we are free because, believe it or not, you were in bondage. Think about this. Before you came to Yeshua, you had got yourself involved in a whole lot of stuff. When the club called you, you couldn't resist. You were in the front of the line. When the drink called you, the Marger and or the Marge and Rita, you were there. When that cigarette called you, you were there. Why? Because you were in bondage to it. When that no count ratchet dude called you, As much as you was mad at him because he stepped out on you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times, when he called that night, you still come on over. Why? Because you were in bondage to it. See, we don't remember that struggle, right? Brothers, when you had 4, 5, and 6 women on rotation, you thought, you know, you remember that part. Yeah, you was the ladies' man, but then you forgot about those 4, 5, and 6 times you had to go to the clinic because... But you kept doing it because you were what? Does anybody thank Yahweh that they're no longer in bondage and they're redeemed? Things have no power over us. So when he came into our life, he broke those chains. Because who knows, there was a, those are chains. When you kept on going back to the same stuff, whatever it was, that was a chain. You know, like you have a ball, the iron ball and the chain attached to your ankle, and you can only go so far, thinking that you're in control, but then that thing got you. That's how the enemy had you. And so in him, you're no longer that. Because there is a doctrine going around that Yahweh is, he's graceful and loving. And you can do whatever it is that you want to do. And it's all right. Because he understands the struggle. Why would he have to go to the cross if you could do whatever you wanted to do? We were already in that state. We were already in the state that we could do whatever we wanted to do. But he came that he will break the cycle and restore us back with the relationship to Yahweh. So why would he say it's okay to go on and sin again? I believe when he told the woman that they were trying to stone and the different people, Yeshua said, sin, go on, but sin no more. So that means that we have to be acceptable. And sin is not in that. That's why he gave us Holy Ghost power to overcome sin. And that's what he wants operating in us, what? Today. Because otherwise, if we're not going to operate in it, it's like we crucify him again. It's like he never did anything. So not only does he redeem us, but he puts us in right standing. That means that we're the righteous, right? So not only did he make us free, he put us in right standing, standing upright, cleaned up. He also justified us. That means we become the just, and it means that we're declared and certified and identified righteous with him. And the last thing, he sanctifies us. We become the sanctified, and sanctification means that we're set apart for his service. So you can't do whatever you want and then think that you sanctified. We got a lot of Sunday believers. Friday and Saturday, you do whatever you want to do. And then Sunday, you decide to be set apart. But you belong to the club Friday night. And I was about to say the honky tonk, but I'm not going. A lot of believers, you know, they turning up in the clubs. And it's okay because like he knows our imperfection. You know, but that means that we're operating under what he's expecting us to operate in. He didn't give us the Holy Spirit for us to just go out and just do whatever we wanted to do. He wanted us to refer to the word about what he expected us to do. And then he told us how to do it. Go to Philippians, the second chapter. Philippians 2. In this day and age, unfortunately, a lot of people don't want to work at maintaining sanctification or righteousness or justification or being the redeemed. He gives it to us. He gives us that fresh start, that brand new transformative work. But it's up to us to what? You have to maintain it. That is why he said that we need the mind what? He said the renewing of the mind. He didn't say the renewed mind, because that would mean that once he saved us, he just, our mind was renewed one time and it stays that way. But who knows that the renewed mind doesn't stay that way? That's why there has to be a constant what? I got a constant rinse cycle going on in this head. Because in a minute, I'll go left. You pass the time. So I'm living in this flesh. And when you live in this flesh, it goes left. It's designed to go left. But hallelujah, the Holy Spirit that he put in me counteracts that if I listen to it. Gives me the power to stand. So Philippians, the second chapter, the 12th verse says, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always. Say that word. See, but don't make me say all this stuff. I need y'all to say this stuff. One, two, three. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always. Stop. In this day and age, people don't like that word. I ain't no slave. I'm my own person. I'm grown. Somebody's, that's a problem. We're in our own nature. See, when you were translated into the kingdom and he gave you this transformative work, he bought you with the price. You're not your own no more. You got to conform to this word. And this is a problem. People want the church to conform to them. It's the other way around, baby boy. The church, you're supposed to conform to the church. You're supposed to conform to what Yahweh wants, not what you want. Because otherwise, would you get on the cross for us? Think about that for a second. We following people and they're not going to make no sacrifice for us. That's why the only one we should be following is Yeshua. Come on, somebody. He's the only one. We're not following people, personalities. Think about it. We're talking about this Central Park Five, right? Not to be a spoiler, but a lot of us know that just on the surface of it, these guys were accused of something that they did not do. Imagine paying the cost for something that you did not do. How enraged would you be? How just bitter would you be if somebody put something on you that didn't have nothing to do with you? And think of this. Not only did they put one thing, but they put 10, 100, 1,000, 10,000, 100,000, a million things that you had nothing to do. But we serve a God that sent his son to take on all of that for you. He took it all on and it didn't have nothing to do with him. It was your stuff. What you did. And not just what you did, what you were gonna do. He took it for, he took stripes for what you did, for what you're doing, and for what you're gonna do. Yet we wanna follow somebody else. You better You better follow the only one and true and living God who actually sacrificed himself for you. And you better call him by his name. You better call him by his right name. Yeshua means that he would save, he will deliver, and he will rescue. That's who we're following. That is our example. That is word personified. So here in in Philippians, the second chapter, wherefore you beloved, you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Work, 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 work. And nobody wants to hear that word. They don't want to hear obey. And they don't want to hear work. Those are four letter words they don't like. What do you have to do? Wait, your salvation is this redemptive work. It's the redemption. It's the transformative work. It's redemption, the righteousness, what? The justifier and the sanctification. And he said that you had to do something with that. He said, work out your own. Why Mary Jane trying to work out your stuff? Why are you taking direction for somebody who has no idea what Yahweh has in store for you? That's why he said, it's yours. Ain't no demon in hell, and ain't no person that can be used by a demon in hell gonna dictate to me how to work my salvation. Work out. Work it. Exercise it. Operate in it. It's yours. It's your own salvation. And you do it with, well, he said, he contradicted himself. He said he hasn't given us the spirit of fear. This translated is not fear, it's reverence. Because you care and respect the God that you serve. I don't have to be afraid of him. I love him. He loves me. And he'll do anything for me. So I can go to him and I respect him, but I'm not afraid. I reverence him. I worship him. I'm not afraid because I have access to him. But I'm going to honor him. I'm not going to disrespect him. And I have to work my salvation in that manner. And the 13th verse says what? For it is Yahweh with worketh in you both to what? Will and to do. That means he works in you that you would actually want to do this the right way. That you would actually desire it. Who wants to just please him? I just want to please him. So us wanting to do it is important for us to actually do it. Let me give you an example. If he says he loves a cheerful giver, the difference between a stingy giver and a cheerful giver is that the cheerful giver wants to do it. The cheerful giver has a heart to do it and a will. They say, I want to do this. And I do it happily because I know that it's pleasing unto him. Just like if he wants me to forgive, hey, I want to do this because I don't want anything holding me back from being with him in the kingdom. So I'm going to forgive you because he forgave. Because think about it. The only reason that you're sitting there right now is because he forgave you. But you want to do it. You want to do it because you love him. to will and to do your good pleasure. No. Because there's teaching out there that says you can do your good pleasure. Can somebody, I need some help. Can somebody tell me what the scripture actually says? Is it my, what?
His.
Tell the neighbor, his. Not mine. Not yours. Because there's, listen, who got a mind that tells you that you want to do some stuff? Right? Now, a question. Now, all the stuff that your mind tell you that you want to do, is it good for you? Now, it might be good to you, but it's not good. What? That's why he gave you the Holy Ghost. Oh, Father, thank you for the Holy Ghost. Thank you for a voice in me that gives me the discernment to know that the stuff that comes out of this crazy head. Because just think, that car that cut you off today, anybody ever been cut off? And when I've been cut off, I had visions in my mind about ramming the back of that car, side swiping it. So, Pastor Tom, you have anger management. You better keep it 100. If you had something up under your seat, you want to grab it, wouldn't you? In that moment, if you could freeze frame that moment of rage, you would have done some stuff. Boy, this place would be empty. Y'all would be in Rikers. But thank Yahweh for the Holy Ghost that restrains us and keeps us. So everything that you're thinking is not good for you. That is why he told us to will and to do what? Because what his good pleasure is good for us. What's good for him, it's good for us. It's good for him, it's good for me. So let's go here to Romans, the 5th chapter. And we want to look at the first verse. And I'm looking at the King James Version. And I'm not going to keep you too long. I know it's just when we do communion, it's a little longer service. But I'm going to get as much as I can in really quickly. Romans, the 5th chapter, the first verse. Therefore, being what? What does justified mean? Declared, certified, identified by faith. We have what? Peace. We've been reconciled back to Yahweh. We have relationship. We have peace. We have shalom. We have an understanding. We have a connection. We have koinonia, right? We have, say, should I ask this question? I'll ask it in a different way. Are you satisfied with your relationship with Yahweh? Don't answer the question. Through Yeshua, you have like this connection. So it's like, if you're talking to somebody who's like, do you remember when you were dating or, you know, was in love? And somebody said, no, it was a long time ago. And that relationship, don't you know, don't remember some of y'all being on the phone? I mean, when I was dating my wife, like, we would be on the phone, and then I would wake up, and the phone was still off the hook. Okay, let me. I'm dating myself. This was before cell phones, thank you. And then when you would have that phone off the hook, you get that sound. But you were in love. You talked all times of the night. You were, you know, you couldn't get enough of being around that person. Right? You couldn't get enough. And now you barely like. We would say, sisters. Our sisters in the house. Do you remember your husband or your boyfriend or whatever? Let me ask the sisters that are married here. Sisters, does that dude, is he as attentive as he used to be? I'm sorry, I don't mean to get nobody in trouble. We got sacred ministry now, y'all, so we're gonna help you out. But when things are good, it's peaceful, it's loving. If we could just keep our relationship with Yahweh, we would just be in this peace that we just passes all understanding every day, every month. So therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with Yahweh through Yahushua Mashiach. And let me just take you to the Amplified version because I found it interesting to read. It says, therefore, since we are justified, that means acquitted, declared righteous, and given a right standing with Yahweh through faith. Why are you teaching faith? Because I got to get this stuff through it. I got to believe. Faith is the vehicle for me to get to these things. Let us grasp the fact that we have the peace of reconciliation to hold and to enjoy peace with Yahweh through Yeshua, the Mashiach, the Anointed One. So we have the ability, if we just tap into it, and if we're in right standing, if you're not in right standing, you don't want to talk to Yahweh. You're going to hide like Adam and Eve did. And guess what? One of the first things you do, we don't see you at church no more. Because the enemy says, don't go to church. You're not righteous enough. And then I got people tell me, I might run into them on the street and whatever, and I don't say it. They say, well, you know, Pastor Tom. Yeah. I know it's been a while since you've seen me. It's not me saying, it's them. But, you know, I'm just trying to get myself right, and then I'll come. I need to get myself together, and then I'll come. I say, dude. That's what the church is for. You don't have the power to get yourself together unless you got some word in you. But see how the enemy do? He was like, tell them, don't go to church. You're not together enough. What does that actually mean? Tell your neighbor, we ain't never really all together. That's why we got to come work this thing out. Part of your workout schedule is coming here to the spiritual gym and doing some push-ups and pulls. Getting that word in you. And so we are the ones that Yahweh wants to be successful, and we do that through Yeshua. And so here, one of the last things I'll show you for today, Colossians, the first chapter, the 25th verse. Wherefore, I'm made a minister, according to the dispensation of Yahweh, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word. So if I'm in a situation where my God is only to be experienced and not read about, if I don't read about him, doesn't that get rid of the word? Because last I checked, you had to what? Read it. Why? because it's the word. The 26th verse. Even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest in his saints. He's like, I need to see the things that I tell you that are available to you in you. Let me say that again. The things that I said that I need to see in you, I need to see in you. I need to see that you want to do the right thing. I need to see that the stuff comes out of your mouth is what I said. I need to see that your posture and your attitude is what my posture and my attitude was. I need to have it manifest in you. Otherwise, how will they know that you're of me and not of someone else? Think about it. What are you manifesting? Ask yourself, what am I manifesting? What do people think? What are people seeing in me on the outside? See, some people just like to be saved on the inside and don't want to manifest it on the outside. 27th verse. To whom Yahweh would make known what is the riches of his glory, of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Mashiach in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man, somebody say woman, and teaching every man, somebody say woman, in all wisdom. The operative word, warning. Say there's stuff out there. The word warns us. A lot of people, if we teach warning, then it's condemnation and legalism. Y'all just being legalistic. Legalistic. Just because he told me to watch out for something and I'm telling you to watch out for it, I'm legalistic. Because there's good stuff. You talk about the righteousness and being free and having peace. That's good stuff. But it comes with work. You got to stay righteous, right? You got to want to be the righteousness. Warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man, somebody say woman, perfect. Doesn't mean flawless. It means mature. That is the translation. That we may present every man mature. But here goes that name again. In who? Everything that he's saying is attached. Say this. Everything that he promised, is attached to his name. I didn't say it. I'm just repeating. He said it. Lastly, I keep on saying that. 29. Whereunto I also labor. Say labor.
Labor.
What comes to your mind when you say labor?
Work.
Which is an oxymoron to me because Labor Day, we ain't working. But I also what?
Labor.
I labor. This is in my salvation. I kind of toil and I have to do stuff and I have to use the word and I have to check myself. I have to, like Apostle said in communion, I have to examine myself. And that's not an easy thing to do. It's not easy to examine yourself. Oh, but ain't it easy to examine everybody else? You know, I'm in amazement looking at my barber over here, Jeremy. You know, when we try to sidestep the barber and we try to do it ourselves, I can't see the back of my head. And one thing that amazes me about some of these dudes is that they can. Can you cut the back of your head? Yeah. You know, yeah. But I can't do the back of my head. But it takes. Did it take practice for you to understand how to do the back of your head? You have to what? He said he went through some stuff and missed. Oh, so that's why you would just cut all your hair off sometimes. But it takes work to be able to do it. And that's anything. You gotta what? You gotta strive for the mutt, the mastery, as the word says. Wherefore unto I also labor, striving. I'm striving to his working, which worketh what? He's working too. And if he's working mightily in me, that means that I gotta what? I gotta work mightily for him. Because I wouldn't be able to do nothing had it not been for Yahweh in my life. I would not have to do anything had it not been for Yeshua demonstrating himself through me. So I just need the believer. Now I pick this up next week. I need the believer to understand. This is not a hyper grace situation. Because the word tells us, though grace abound, should we sin? And what does it say? God forbid. Yahweh forbid. That means that we got to work at this thing. And a lot of times we lose our way because we don't want to work at it. The further and further you get from the voice of the Holy Ghost, the fainter and fainter his voice is. Until you get so far out that you can't even hear it anymore. I serve a God that wants relationship. He's been desiring relationship ever since the garden. And I said this last week, I'm gonna say it again this week. He wants us to have a garden experience with him. Where we want to be with him. We want to hear his words and what he has to say to us. We want to hear his voice. We want to be able to walk with him with our heads up high and not shame. We want to walk with him and not have to hide in a bush. Because there's something in our life that I want you to think about that as you move forward in this week. About hearing his voice. A lot of times people say, I prayed about it. And he told me to do it. And I just know. I just know that was not true. Yeah, they heard something. They heard a voice. But it wasn't his voice. Father, help us. In the name of Yeshua, our desire are to be those saints that you are looking for, and not that you just look for, but you actually find us. Because we want to be that worshiper, that believer who's actually worshiping you. In spirit and in truth. Help us, lead us, guide us. by way of your Holy Spirit, which you said would lead us into all truth. If that's what we really want, and we're really looking to hear your voice. So lead us, guide us, direct us by your Spirit and by your word. And we thank you for that. In Yeshua's mighty name we pray. Amen. Keep your head bowed. If you would bow your head. The believer bows their head.